that you could be praying for my husband, Tom. He's been in the hospital. He's been in the hospital twice over the last, now it's 4 days. And I guess when he came back from preaching in Central New York last weekend, he didn't feel well. And Tommy's never sick. And so I looked at him and I thought, wow, that looks like, he looks like he, like when he had COVID back when, you know, I mean, because he had a miserable case. So we did a home test and it wasn't COVID. But he just was hurting all over, you know, and I'm not going to get into all of everything, but he was just a wreck. And so we went to the hospital and they thought that it was a viral syndrome, they called it. I thought, gee, I've never heard of that, viral syndrome. So they didn't know what to call it. And just lots of pain and then sciatica. And he doesn't have sciatica, so that was weird too. But anyway, we ended up going back because he just couldn't move. He couldn't stay in any one position more than 2 minutes, it seemed like, you know. So they did some more tests, CAT scan. Finally, this morning, we found out that he didn't have COVID. We've kind of figured that already. But, you know, he's just, he feels like he just needs the Lord, you know, just needs the Lord to touch him. And we're supposed to be leaving on vacation up to the Adirondacks with all of our kids and grandkids on Saturday. So please pray for him, you know, because he's planning on going and everything like that. So we just praise the Lord. We saw a miracle happen, okay? I'm going to share, and I'm going to be just really open with you. And most of you know me, and the ladies have heard some of what I'm going to share. But I'm going to share it anyway, because I know all of you guys, you've not heard me say this. And so it's part of my testimony. And our testimonies are important, you know. And so I just want to share part of my testimony, my present testimony, and what the Lord's been doing in my life over the last few years, and the message that He's given me to pass along to you, so that maybe you could be challenged in not the same way, but in whatever similar kind of way that is important to you in your walk with the Lord, okay? So we've kind of fallen between the cracks in the healthcare system because our doctor up in Rochester has been gone for a year and she finally quit or however it happened. And so so we needed a doctor. And anyway, without all the details, we got one this week who said, yeah, you can come. And so we were saying that was really God. He's really good. And so, I've just been on this journey for the last, I realize now it's almost 3 years that I was given, a book that didn't even read at all, but it got me started. And like what the Lord could do for me because I was in a miserable kind of a place. And I've been serving the Lord for 48 years. And we were called into ministry real quick after we got saved. And so, you know, I've been walking with the Lord, trusting Him, recognizing His faithfulness, receiving His goodness, you know, serving in whatever way I knew and could, you know, serve. And all of that stuff, 48 years of that. But about 3 years ago, or maybe it was a little more, I don't know, I just started to feel like I was tripping, you know, dragging my feet, you know, that it just was like I didn't care anymore. I loved God. It was all a fight in my soul, you know, and the soul is the place of all the feelings and emotions and, you know, just, it's the place where, and we go there so often times, you know, and we say things like, you know, we're trusting, you know, that the Lord is saving us and redeeming us and that He is growing us up and that we are, you know, that we know that in the present we are His righteousness, but He's causing us to be more, to look more and to act more like Him all the time. And so this soul place is really, it can be just, can be a rotten place to be when you're stuck in your mind and your mind is not stuck on God. it's a wretched place to be. And so I've been kind of fighting with the Lord, not angry with him. I mean, I wouldn't have called it that, but really disillusioned, disappointed, you know? And I know you all have been there. You've been to places where you've been disappointed that something didn't happen, that you raised your kids for so long expecting this, this, and this, and maybe one of them or two of them or whatever, they're not walking the way that you thought it would all happen. You know, we get saved and we know it's not going to be, everything's going to be good. We know because Jesus told us you will have tribulation. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. Look at what I'm going through. You're going to have it too. And when we go through the book of Acts and we read all the letters that were written in the New Testament, and we know the historical background of where some of those apostles went and how they died and how they suffered, but how they shared the gospel and how redemption came to people who were other than the Israelites. We know the story. And so, you know, we realize that, you know, and so we're all part of that right now even. We are his church. And we are just all the, you know, that paper Pastor Dave has on the back table, who you are in Christ. And the paper that I know I've seen multiple times through here is, what does the church, the one another's of Christ, what do we do for and with each other? Well, you know, I got in this place and I started realizing that, you know, boy, I'm in a kind of a sickening place and I really need to get moving and I need to get unstuck. I'm immobile and I'm not going anywhere. And I realized that my Bible reading was amiss, that my prayer life was really suffering, and that although I could recognize God as a faithful, loving, good, merciful God who sees me all the time, you know, there was nothing that was without his glaze that happened over the last few days and over this morning. My first pastor, Pastor Fred, he used to say, you got to be instant in season and out of season. You can't just wait to be assigned something and do that something. When something needs to be getting done, you need to get up and do it. And even if you're not prepared, get up, do it, and expect God to give you the word that needs to happen at that time and just walk in it. Don't worry about all the other things. Don't worry about all the other people. You know, and just do it, what has to happen. And that's what we did today. We just did it. Thank you, Randy, for leading us in worship. And you know, there's times when we get worshiping like that, we know we've heard that song. We don't remember those words. We can hum along. You know, we can make up words. But God is going to use that time even, because nothing works out perfectly. Sometimes we get up here and we've got a service, we've got a worship service going, and the words are up there and we're not missing a beat. But there will be other times when it just, a song takes off. 2 weeks ago in prayer meeting, you did that, Alex. He started a song and everybody could sing along, you know? And our plans get screwed up. Last week I planned on being to a prayer meeting and the telephone rings and it's Aunt Rosie down in South Carolina, and I know she's having a hard time, and I got to take that phone call, and an hour later we're hanging up. It's just a divine appointment, okay? So that's kind of what, you know, I was in that soulish place, and God has moved me along and has brought me through, you know, another book, through reading the scriptures, for making a plan, you know, of how to go through the scriptures, you know, of a church service in Tennessee this past year where God just blasted me in such a great way, you know, and he just, and I thought, and since that I've been on this journey of just finding more music, because I used to be musical, used to play guitar until that accident, and I thought, said to my husband, I want a conga for my birthday. He said, what? I said, yeah, I want a drum, and I'm going to learn how to play it. Because I felt like God said, yeah, you got that in you. Do it. Use it for me. And so I said, and he said, so he got me a conga. So I got a conga for my 71st birthday. Today is my birthday. And so that's not, you know, it's like God is opening doors, and he's going to open doors for every one of us, okay? So I told you God called us early. I have always thought, and you know, we've lived in Africa. We've been, my husband's traveled to 40 countries. You know, I mean, I've been a pastor's wife and a Sunday school teacher and VBS leader and anything counselor, you know, and I've got my the regular career in this. And during this period of time, I'd say, Lord, you know what? I don't think I have that kind of a call like I used to think. I think it's just been tough, you know? And who knows? Well, anyway, God showed me that in a call, we are all called. We know we've all been called to Christ. And we came and we admitted that we were a sinner. And we asked for forgiveness. And we invited him into our lives. And we said, do what you want with us, Lord. Isn't that the way you felt most of you when you got saved? Just that throwing all caution to the wind, yes, Lord, I want to live for you. You know, and so I realized I haven't been living like that at all. And I want that again. I don't want the end of my life to be going like this. This is the best part when I got saved and everything else from there goes down. No, I want my grandkids to say, my Mimi loved God. Even the ones who are not going to church right now regularly or anything else, I want them to know that the number one person in my life is not Poppy. It's Jesus. And Poppy knows that. That's Tommy. Okay? So, you know, I said to the Lord, help me to understand this calling thing, that I feel like there's something that's changing in the way that I'm looking at things right now. And the call is not the call just to full-time ministry, okay? But he has called us to be in a personal relationship and to make room. There's a song that I've been in the search for music too. Music for just personal music. You know, some of that Christian music is just for you. Some of it's really not the worship stuff you do congregationally. And there's this song, Make Room. And it's like, yes, Lord. And it's just one of those songs where you just soak in it. And so that has been on my mind in some of the songs. And we shouldn't be getting our theology from the music. The music should come from our theology. Okay, so not all music is created equal, and although some music might have some great lines, all of it's not necessarily that way. So we need to be discerning. But you know, the Book of Psalms, Psalms 145:2 says, "Every day I will praise you; I will extol your name forever." Psalm 88:13. But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. My prayer rises up to you, you know, like the incense rising up. And so when I feel like the first calling that any one of us has is to him, to be in his presence and to know him. And that is the most important calling that we can have in our lives, to set aside time and then to pray without ceasing. So that, you know, so prayer is, sometimes it is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. But it's without ceasing. It's every day, as we do, everything we do, every little thing, every big thing, every mundane thing, to pray without ceasing. And then, you know, there's sometimes when we get depressed or we're anxious, and then we go to Psalm 42. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. Because when we trust in everybody else, but we don't look to God for our healing and our deliverance and our balance, all of that, then we are looking to something else. And God doesn't want us looking elsewhere. He wants us to look to him for everything. And, you know, and I know you felt like this, Psalm 13:1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel from my soul? Remember, I told you the soul is the mind, the emotions, all that negative talk that we tell ourselves, all that, you know, and you know how your emotions can be like this, you know? So we take counsel in our soul sometimes, saying that, oh no, I've got to do this thing. We might not have asked God, should I do this thing? Having sorrow daily. Anyway, that's Psalm 13:1. But James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. The double-mindedness comes from the soul because we say, this one said that, and this one said that, and which way should I go? You know, the double-mindedness. Or you go, you know, and this is just a stupid example, but you go to church and then you go out and you go do something else that you really doesn't declare the glory of the Lord, you know? It's that double-mindedness that just draw near to God. And that calling, that first calling, or that dimension of our calling, the first dimension, is to be with the Lord. And you know that when you're with the Lord, and if you have a prayer time, you may start out with thanksgiving. You may extol him. You may praise him. You may worship him. And you know, and I've wondered, okay, so worship, does worship have to have an instrument like this one? Do we really have to know how to play like Randy or Pastor Dave play? Do we need to know how to play even the bass guitar like Denny plays? You know, do we need to have that? Or can we just worship him alone? Wherever. Does it have to be a certain place? And so, you know, we can ask for forgiveness. I love that you brought that up, because forgiveness keeps us from becoming everything that God wants us to be. And how many times can we take an offense up that isn't our own offense? We get offended for somebody else. I don't know. I just don't see in the Bible that there's a whole lot of grace for that. You're picking up somebody else's baggage that you don't belong even picking up. You're being a busybody. Let that person take care of the offense that they picked up and let them take it before the Lord. You know, so we get... There's so many scripture verses in the Bible that tell us to come boldly before the throne of grace, to bring our concerns to the Lord, to praise him, to worship him. Yes, we ask for the things that we need. We're all going to do that all the time. But he gives us everything. I watch these birds in front of out my window by the bird feeders, and they don't have a care in the world because, well, God has provided everything, but Judy gives them seed in the summer too. Duh. You know, but they don't worry about anything. They are just, God takes care of them. He's their provision and he's going to be ours. And there's nothing that we bring before him in our prayer time or our private time or whatever devotional time or whatever you call yours. There's nothing that he doesn't see. Elroy. That's what, I mean, that, Pastor Dave preached a whole message on that. So if we have unforgiveness in our heart, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's all we need to do. And then the tougher part is working out the relational portion of that with whoever it is that we won't forgive or they won't forgive us. But that might be the harder thing than going to the Lord. But we make it like the harder thing is God forgiving, you know. There was a scripture verse, you know, before we went to Africa, I homeschooled. And homeschooled for a little less than a year to kind of do a dry run because I was going to be homeschooling in Africa. And there was this verse, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And that was the verse that I held on to and I claimed, and I felt like God promised me great would be the peace of my children. But you know what? I kind of feel like we're his children. And maybe it's that God will teach us. He teaches us. He can do that when we are in that place. So let me tell you something. Please don't judge me because I'm really being open about this. So my husband and I, we like to pray together in the morning, and we've got a whole list of all of our friends and the people who we know who need prayer, and we'll do that. We'll sit there and do that. And he is rolling. This was after that getting that appointment with that doctor thing happened. And he is thanking the Lord for doing that, you know, for going. I mean, he's thanking the Lord for working out the details. And in my brain, while we are praying, my brain is rolling around, and Lord, thank you that I persevered and I cut through all that red tape. Do you know what the Lord said to me? I will not share my glory with another. I was chastised. I will not share my glory with another. He wants all the glory, all the honor, all of your everything that he does for you. He wants us to praise him out there in the community and among the family and among the church, not just in the church, though, is what I'm saying. He wants the glory for doing the things that he does, and he does not want us to touch it. Man, I just felt like I got a head slap. And I said, oh, Lord, I am so sorry. I know you did this. We talked about this. But we are, and I'm sure maybe you fall into the same kind of a situation sometimes where we trip because we are looking at ourselves or somebody else when we should be looking at him and saying, you are everything, okay? So that was like an amazing thing when God just showed me that. And it wasn't during my private devotional time. It was with somebody else. But he can show us things no matter where we are, whether we're alone or whether we're with somebody else, whether we're at a congregational meeting. He can show us what he wants to show us. And he can tell us. And he will be our provision, and he will be faithful, and he will be merciful. But he will chastise us sometimes. And we got to be ready for that too. Because in that, you know, there's scripture verses in the book of Proverbs where it says and that a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. You can't attain wise counsel without asking for it. And sometimes it's from God, but sometimes we seek counsel from another godly person who we might admire, we might be mentored by, we might be working with, we might be on a team with. I love being working as a team rather than all by myself. So first dimension of the calling is our relationship with God. Second dimension I was thinking was, and I was talking about this originally, sometimes, you know, God directs us, or the second calling is to people who God directs us to, okay? And the people who God directs us to could be, you know, they could be our family. They could be somebody in our community. They could be a group that you function in. Pickleball, Denise. You know, it could be another country or a culture when you think about somebody who leaves the U.S. and goes as a missionary somewhere. They're called to a language group where they don't have a Bible yet, and you're working with a group of Bible translators just doing literacy. You know, it could be anything along those ways. It could be those who need to be saved. So that would be like something particular that God might call Tom to versus who he might call Judy to, or who he calls Alex to, or who he calls Judy over here to. We have people in our life. They are within our circle of influence. We have maybe a little bit more, maybe a lot, you know. Our grandkids, You know, I feel like we're very influential over them. So that second calling, you know, in that second calling, remember Paul. I think maybe Pastor mentioned this last week. So Paul is in, he is in Troas, I think, and he gets the Macedonian call. And he was headed to Bithynia this way. But no, he gets the Macedonian call this way. And this is not what he planned. And this is not where he was going. But this is where the Holy Spirit was leading him to go. And because he went there, that was the opening of the gospel to the Gentiles. And because he obeyed. So he was sent first. He's already on a missionary journey. He's already headed to Bithynia to go back there. But no, Holy Spirit says go this way instead. And he's going to do that to us. We're going to be just talking to somebody, you know? Like the Lord set me up beautiful. Set me up beautiful at the gym the other day. And I'm thinking, there is a girl I've been talking to, and I like her, but I don't think she's saved. And I already have an idea of how to make a connection with her this week. And that's what God wants to do with you in wherever you are. Where you live, where you walk, where you ride your bike, where you do whatever it is, any of the things that you do. That's where he wants to go. And so he's going to change your plans. And we have to be flexible. We need to be flexible to the end. Be ready to do whatever he's calling us to do. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. So God, in this little divine meddling that you're going to do in people's lives, don't meddle. But, you know, I'm just using that as a kind of a... God is going to use maybe some of your good works in that for you to bless somebody. And maybe sometimes when people don't feel like they've been blessed very much, they might listen a little bit more. And God wants us, Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Who are the disciples? That's us. So that's us encouraging one another and saying, it is through many, listen to this, tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. You are going to have trials, tribulations, and there's going to be bumps along the road. But I believe that God is going to give us opportunities to minister to other people. The third calling. The third calling is to our co-workers in the gospel. And that, again, is us. That's us. Okay? You just think of however you work around here, whatever you do. You're doing it with somebody else. You're taking the Christmas decorations down. You're cleaning the church in the spring. You're setting up tables. Oh, guys, we need tables set up at the end of the service today and so, for men's meeting. So we are co-workers together in the gospel, and we become together what we cannot become alone. Why is that? I don't know who said that. But I've read that before. Because when we work together and we do things together, we get to know each other. We don't get to know each other real good here on church on Sunday between the time somebody finishes preaching and the time you walk out the door. It is in doing things together that we recognize the joy of working with somebody who we don't know and getting to know somebody better. And, you know, just... And maybe it's somebody you've seen for 10 weeks in a row, but you finally get to do something together and you get to know each other. You get to love each other together, and you have a common mission and bond that grows. So in Philippians 3:17, Paul says to the Philippians, he's writing to the Philippians, follow my example. You have us for a pattern. And there's no, and this is my me throwing this in, there's no way to become Christ-like without a whole lot of good practice. we'll have our share of bad practice where we don't do the things or say the things that we should do or say it how we should do it. But it is through practice that we get good at something. And so, you know, God, I remember the, you know, second church we were ever at, we were at Assemblies of God Church, and we knew we weren't going to be there long, but it was a pastor's wife who took me under her wing and taught me better, a better way of doing children's church, a better way of teaching Sunday school than the woman who had taught me before that. You know, it is like iron sharpens iron. We teach each other as we're learning. In the first dimension, it is God teaching us. When we are alone with Him or we are listening to Him and we hear the Holy Spirit, it is God who's teaching us, who is teaching us. And we are just learning and just bringing it all in as we spend time in the Word and we learn from one another. Sometimes because somebody's teaching us a way to do it, but sometimes because we are figuring it out as we go along, Denise, like we did this morning. Okay, so give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a just man. Embrace both the discipleship principle and the together principle. You know, there might be you've probably discipled people along the way throughout all your years of being a Christian, or you might have mentored somebody, or you might have been mentored. Whatever it is, that dimension is a way that we get to know God and we get to respond to God and we get to live out, shine the light of Jesus in whatever situation we find ourselves in. As I thank God, I can't thank Him enough for all the people He's put in my life. I can be a real, judgy person. That was one of my main problems when I got saved. I was so judgmental. But I realize that judgment is for the Lord to do. It's not for me, not for you. We just have to, and in His time, He does all things beautiful in His times. And so He is bringing us along. Ecclesiastes said, and we had this portion read at our wedding, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone and falls because there's not going to be anybody there to lift him up. A threefold cord could not be broken. Jesus. And you know, not all the relationships that I've always thought about this verse in is just between me and Tommy. It can be between two of us who work together too. That there is safety, there is wisdom that comes when we do things together. You know, we're not alone. Yeah, we need alone time sometimes, but alone is not the most powerful place to be. It is with somebody else who shares your same mission in life. And that's to glorify the Lord. That is where we are going to be the strongest. Because you can pray together, because you can pray when you're separated. You can ask the Lord for direction, and He'll give direction. You know, so I guess maybe I haven't said anything new to you at all today, but I am hoping that I pricked something in you that you will say, okay, what did Judy say today? She said, first dimension of a calling is our personal relationship with Jesus. And I have got people in this church who have been, they don't even know they've been challenging me, but they have been challenging me to worship the Lord, to stay put, you know, to do more and not to stay in a stuck place, and to realize that God is not finished with us yet. He wants to use all of us. When I retired, I thought I was retired. I'm not retired. I was only retired from the VA, not retired anymore. I am back in the saddle. And I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, I've been looking for a job. I don't think I want a job. I think I just want to serve you in whatever way you bring, bring it to me. Yeah, bring it to me. So first dimension, our personal relationship with the Lord didn't end the day we got saved. It needs to continue. September 28th, Tommy and I are going to be married 50 years. That relationship that started back in 73 has continued through the years. And it's not going to end September 28th. It is going to continue. That's what God wants. He wants us, he says, you don't know the time that you have here on the earth, but I know it. And for as long as you're here and as long as you're breathing and your feet work and you're walking, or even if your feet stop working, I'm going to use you anyway. I'm going to use you on that telephone or a text or chat, or I'm going to use you. You can call up somebody and encourage them. Encouragement should be the easiest thing that we can do in the church. The easiest thing. There is always something that we can find if we look at somebody and we can say, you know, this thing. And God wants to use us. We are not too old to function. Caleb, he'd say, I want that mountain. And that's what I want for me and for you, that we would. And then the second dimension was, what is the Lord asking you to do in the place you are in today? And then the third one is together, in the things that we do together. How do we serve the Lord? And it's not only through a communion service, and it's not only greeting people at the back door, but sometimes we might end up doing things together. And, you know, Denise and Luann, who knows what is in front of you on your little trip? There's a divine appointment waiting for you, you know? And so this is what I'm thinking. In the same way that Curtis asked you to just sit and be quiet for 20 to 30 seconds, I'm saying the easiest thing that you can do is a behavioral thing. All it takes is for you to make a decision up here, and that's part of your soul. To make a decision in your soul to do something that would affect your spirit. Because we are body, soul, and spirit. And the soul takes in both the heart and the mind and the emotions and the decision-making stuff that we do. And, you know, from the day you got saved, hopefully you've been presenting that soul to the Lord and he has been adjusting it. Your personality, that's in the soul. He is adjusting it. It's still probably a little bit immature, but God can change that. He can bring us to completion, not till we're with him, but he can continue to bring us closer and closer and closer to the completion he wants while you are on this earth walking around. And it is only when we present that to him and we say, God, I'm willing. There's a song right now, John Wilde sings, Strip It All Away. Strip it all away, all of my emotions and all of my attention and my affection that I have for everything else that I have in this world. And let me just throw all of that on you. How do we do that? We change the way that we approach in our thinking here. What can we do? How can we make ourselves a little bit uncomfortable so somebody else is more comfortable? How can we stop promoting ourselves and promote somebody else, even just one-to-one? You don't have to get up and make a big speech to promote the person. Just help them to understand something that they did right. And maybe your light will shine in that darkness. And remember, in darkness, I gotta end. That's what I want you to think about. What can I do to change, to affect, not change, to affect my calling in a more positive way for the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God. What can I do? What is God calling me to do? That's in that number two category, something particular to you. So you might not be going to Kenya to work at Rahema, but what can you do here? So we're just going to end there. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have listened and we have to just some of the dimensions of relationship, Lord, that you want us to be functioning in. And we present ourselves to you, Lord. Strip away all the things that gather our attention and take it in another direction, Lord. And let us look to you, Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, to create in us just the love of Jesus so that we can reach out and present it to the world, Lord, in very authentic ways, Lord, in very practical ways, Lord. We give you the day ahead of us, the week ahead of us, and we just ask you to be our guide, our guide. And you are dismissed. And I don't know how to turn your phone. Oh, it's flying everywhere.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Judy.
You are welcome.
All right. Well, thank you, Judy. If anybody does need prayer, don't go home without it. And otherwise, we'll just encourage you to have a wonderful day and week, and whoever can come on Wednesday, come pray with us. And God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a couple of guys, we put four tables and some chairs around the back. I can't hear what you're saying. Oh, is that what you want to do? Well, I don't know. Where's Randy? We can do a happy birthday. Let's do it a cappella. Everybody, happy birthday for Judy. Ready? A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. Every day of the year, may you feel Jesus near. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. And the best year you ever had. Good job. That's what needed to be done. I'm in your way here.